When you have goals properly set up, you have an unbelievable amount of information that you can take action on.
Marketing Mondays on Grow the Dream.
It's time for another episode. This time, it's a deep dive.
Deep?
I think so.
Dive.
Pretty deep.
From the nerds again.
Yeah, but we're going deep into a tool that you have, most likely, but you might not be using to its fullest capacity.
Ooh, nice.
All of that and more. Next.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when, you know, when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it, quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
All right, it's time for episode 28.
28 of Grow the Dream.
You had no warning for that, did you?
No, I didn't know what you were doing.
Sorry. So. I it's such a habit now. Like, we get a jingle. You know, every single time.
It's okay. I just didn't prepare with any epic soundtrack.
Yeah, like last week. Last week was good. I'm not quite willing to concede yet. I still think if I matched up one little segment of what you did against the Superman theme, it would work.
Well, you're like a child that just,
I don't know,
doesn't give up on something.
And, you know, when listening to it after the fact, I definitely heard the Star Wars theme.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm willing to concede that that's exactly what you were singing, which I knew you were singing at the time. I'm just saying there were a few notes that was like,
okay,
maybe. So
it was for the entertainment sake.
It was fun, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well,
so we have an old friend today with us.
I know, and I'm pouring myself a fresh cup of this beautiful, dark old friend.
Coffee Cult with K's. We love this stuff here on the show.
We do. This is the brew of the day. It's been the brew of the day almost as much as Left Roasters. And
you really like this stuff, though, or is it just
really
because we talked about it so much?
No, I like it. It's the first batch this morning was a little extra strong.
And you're using the gun cup.
I am. Should we post a picture of the gun cup?
Yeah, I took a picture.
It's not mine, but it belongs to one of the guys here where we have our studio, and I like it.
The just picture a cup with a handle that is a gun.
And your finger slides right into the trigger guard when you pick it up.
I've wanted to use it almost every episode, but I thought, if I use that, I am guaranteed to spill that on my computer.
Ooh.
And it's not worth it to me.
Thanks for the warning on that.
So I gave it to you.
Oh, great. Thanks.
I don't care if your computer fries.
Yeah, it's a little unfamiliar. But anyway, hey, Josh Rod is not with us today.
I didn't notice.
I know. It's normally by now we would have heard something from him. But
Should I try to play Rod today?
What are you going to do, pick on me?
No, you're just
going to be the old guy.
Well, no, yeah, but we'll just say something and then I'll apply it to PR. And then you can say something about 40 years.
Okay. Maybe. I don't know.
See if it works. See if it flows.
I'm not used to be. I how can any of us possibly be Rod? Nobody can be Rod. Rod's awesome.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about this morning. I was thinking, if I were to try to act like Rod, like, what would I say? And I literally, no thoughts came to mind.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't pick on me. He really picks on you. So you have to pick on yourself if you're going to be Rod.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Where is Rod? Why is he not here?
Well,
family issue.
Yeah, there's a little personal thing going on. I don't know how much we were, you know, able to share, but yeah, he needed to be out of town. So, Rod, we miss you, man. And on behalf of all of our listeners as well, you know, you're sorely missed when you're not here.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. All right. So let's talk about something fun.
You know, last week was fun. We talked about a whole bunch of stuff. This week, I think we're gonna do something super super duper practical because you and I were talking about this. It's one of the tools that all of us have to use, that we all should be using, and we probably don't pay as much attention to it as we should. But all of us have this tool, and if you don't, you know, it's free and it's easy to sign up, and
yes,
you should get it. So we'll get to that tool in a minute.
We're not going to say what it is.
Should we not? Yeah, let's just leave it at that for the moment. You and I were talking a few minutes ago, though. You have You've made a big change to your productivity where email is concerned.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I didn't know you were going to bring that up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Though.
I think it was okay. Yeah, it's worthwhile.
Yeah, I've been a longtime user of Gmail, as would be a lot of our listeners.
Sure.
And I just decided one day I was tired of going to three different email clients: one for work, one for my other work, and then one for this podcast and the other podcast. And I was like, "This is ridiculous."
Too many places.
Yeah, and so I looked. I realized that in Gmail, you just have to go to the traditional old Gmail, not inbox. You can go into settings and have it control all your other email accounts.
Yeah,
and
it'll go
send mail from it and everything. You can
top
have separate
three and
yeah.
and
you can have separate signatures for each.
Exactly. It's smart. It's actually really smart about it. Like,
yeah,
when an incoming message comes, you reply. It knows.
Exactly.
Which account to reply from. And
yeah, Gmail's really good with aliases. So, yeah. I mean, literally, I've got one inbox that I now go to manage all my stuff. And I use inbox by Google, so all the notifications get obviously kind of filtered down. And there's actually a little known feature in that particular app where you can tell it to only give you, to only show updates and all the social stuff as new at like 8 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock at night or whenever
you
want.
Schedule them.
Yeah, so that instead of you still seeing, because it still pushes them to the top above new mess if it's the latest thing.
Okay.
Well,
sure.
If you tell it, I don't want to see those at the top unless it's 8 o'clock in the morning or for whatever reason. Yeah. So,
you know, I have the Inbox app. And of course, at first, you know, we couldn't get it because I'm an apps user. So I have a Google Apps account page.
That's right.
Google
so it was delayed.
Work. Yeah. So, like everything else, we don't get it, you know, until later, which I get. Google's trying to control quality and all that. But yeah. So, but I finally got it. And by then, I was like, I was having second thoughts. So I have Inbox, but I now get notifications from it and Gmail.
Oh, no, dude.
Yeah. It's the worst of all possible worlds right now because I can't take the plunge. I'm scared that I'm going to lose.
What are you going to lose?
Well, I monitor a lot of these things that I don't really.
Can you name something specific?
Yeah. Okay. So I get.
Because I've been
on
it for a while.
I'm subscribed to any number of marketers and people that I steal ideas from, right?
Sure.
And so I keep an eye on what they're doing.
Yeah.
Hey.
Even if it's just the title of their email.
Exactly.
Like, that's a good title right
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Subject lines are a big deal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Hiten Patel does the same thing.
Yeah, so
he's got a separate email account just for marketing
swipe.
Junk.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I don't have a separate account for that because, I don't know, you know, so anyway, so I monitor these things even though, and a lot of times it's just even subconscious. I'm just filtering through. I'll mark them red and then archive them.
Yeah.
But I still see them. And I'm nervous about letting an app do that for me.
You still have to do it.
You still have to do it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't.
It just categorizes them together in their own folder. So
just lumps them.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're still there for you to decide whether or not to archive them. And it uses a new term called check.
It's like done, right? You hit the done box.
It's done. That's right. Not check.
Yeah.
It's done. And that's the same as archiving.
Yeah. Okay.
And it stays synced between your old. So you can
anytime
go back to Gmail and it's.
That I've noticed. Like if I once in a while I will hit done on something and then I'll notice it's been archived in regular Gmail. Anyway. Yeah. But what I love about this is, and I still have clients that use Outlook, and I can't figure out why people still use Microsoft Outlook.
Oh, I feel so bad.
Maybe corporate demands or whatever. But when I tell them, hey, just search for this message or whatever,
and they can't find it.
Well, they have really great service with Outlook. It's called same day service. The same day you run the search usually is the same day you get the results back with Outlook.
Oh my
gosh. Like it takes forever
to
run searches because Outlook is just, why not let Google, the search king of the universe.
Their email search is amazing.
I mean, instantaneous, you know, and that's important to me because I might remember some odd phrase or some detail or whatever.
Oh, exactly.
And that's how I find something when I need to find it. I've got emails in my Google Apps account going back to 2008. So what is that? 7 years worth of emails now. And I have emails from before that in old PST files and stuff from Outlook, but
that's right.
I haven't imported those, but I might.
Google would find a way to search through that and make.
Oh yeah, no, it does
make sense of the madness.
Oh hey, yeah, it's got an import tool for PSTs. Yeah.
Have we exhausted this idea?
I think so. Yeah.
Because I don't know how we've missed, in my opinion, the elephant in the room. Alphabet.
Oh, totally. Can you believe I mean, so what's your take? Okay, so for those of you, if you haven't heard, I mean, if you've been under a rock, Google created a new company this week.
Yes.
Called Alphabet.
The company to rule all of their companies.
Yeah.
And so now Google is just one piece of the pie, and the pie is called Alphabet now.
ABC.xyz. Gotta love the domain.
So that's the part that I really, because like literally probably Sunday night, Paul Graham, legendary startup enthusiast and helper, guy who started Y Combinator.
Oh, wow.
He writes this post about how if you don't have a .com domain name, change your name.
Whoa, so change the name of your company.
.com, yeah. And
that's smart advice, I think.
I don't know, because if you follow, I know you kind of agree with him, but if you follow startups, more and more people are using all of these new
.co's and .io.
Yeah.
Well,
.club.
If you're a B2B, I think you can get away with something. But if you're a consumer company at all, you need a .com. Because people,
I think you're right.
Too many people,
I think you're right,
just still don't know. You know, the AOL users of the world.
Well, point in case, Alphabet.com is getting tons of traffic.
Right.
Who owns Alphabet.com? Not Google.
No.
BMW.
I know. And why does BMW own Alphabet.com? I'm not sure. I've heard that story, but it's kind of a funny thing. And BMW, I have heard, will not sell the domain.
Yes. Their PR person said that, which, you know, who knows? They could change their mind in 5 minutes. But,
well, I mean, you know, who's the bigger company, right? I mean,
right. Well, and my question is, does Google own XYZ?
Like, no, they don't.
Because they own .app.
Right, yeah, they don't own that. I looked it up this week, and I don't remember now. I'll have to find it.
Which then that would make sense, because then they would have Google.xyz. Did you see the spoof page, Hooli.xyz?
No.
Based off of the Silicon Valley HBO show?
No.
Yes, they built a page for Hooli, which is a completely fictional product or startup from the show Silicon Valley.
That's funny. That is funny. XYZ is owned by XYZ.com LLC.
Okay, so they actually bought it from somebody. That's wild. So anyway, there's really nowhere else we can go with that, but
I know.
We had to mention it.
It's interesting and it's fascinating, and I think what's kind of amusing about it is that it's a big bet. It's a big bet.
On XYZ or just on the company?
No, the whole idea, right? Because what basically happened is that the two founders of Google have accelerated themselves to the top level of the whole deal. They just basically did an end around, and they now run the show again. Obviously, Sundar runs Google.
Yeah.
But they run Alphabet, so they're betting a lot on their, you know, projects, like their their moonshots and all these other deals, because they've spun off some of those various divisions and so forth. But this is the Alphabet, and that's the origin of the name. Larry and Sergey made it public this week that they're betting, because this is a big risk to do what they've done, because they're spinning off the companies that are making money. It's an interesting thing. So I don't know.
I've gotten into the details more than I have.
I have unfortunately spent a lot of time this week thinking about all of this. But the name is kind of a fun play on words. It's the Alphabet, So anyway, we'll see how it turns out for them. Obviously, Wall Street reacted beautifully. They increased enough in market value to buy Twitter. They didn't buy Twitter, but their market cap this week,
you're kidding,
increased so much
just from this organizational change.
Just from this big announcement of the restructuring. Yeah, and most of the time when there's a restructuring and the founders of the company kind of exit, you see the opposite happen in terms of, you know. But these guys, just it was a brilliant move.
So from a PR play, nobody's noticing the fact that these guys have, quote, left Google.
They basically retired. I mean, you know,
gosh.
I mean, they're still going to be doing what they're going to do. You know, but and which is mostly tinker with weird.
We're now going to advise companies from A to Z.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
they happen to be owned by our parent company, Alphabet.
They're the ultimate venture capitalists at this point.
Okay, I was trying to get that.
You know, yeah. Anyway, it's a fun thing. So, how does this apply to small business marketing? I don't know.
Good question.
But it's hey, we rely so much of our business relies on Google. You were talking about Gmail. We're about to talk about Google Analytics.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, everything's Google, you know? We're all going to be impacted.
Everything's Google, unless it's Apple.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. So you and I were talking before we got on air today, and I think Google Analytics is one of those tools that there's a lot of value in that people, I continue to find people that are missing value out of Google Analytics.
So Google needs to do what they did with Gmail by creating Inbox, which was a much more simplified version where they took all the features and they kind of hit them and they tried to create a better version that's just simpler and try to make some decisions for you. And you need to do that with Google Analytics and call it something new, but it still syncs with the old. And you log in and it asks you, are you a small business? Are you doing e-commerce?
Or
are
maybe
you a corporate company?
Like pre-design some,
yes,
yeah,
and
some
and
interface?
Give you a dashboard that has the highlights. Right now, you have to kind of customize this stuff on your own. And I mean, 90% at least of most people just install the tracking code and then occasionally go in and look at the...
And stare at the numbers.
The data. Right? They click through a couple tabs and it's like, what does it mean? Like, how do I take what I'm looking at, other than by comparing it to last month and going, hey, we've improved, or hey, our bounce rate went up or down, instead of being able to take that data and get some meaningful understanding of
some actionable information. Right.
There
you
go.
So, you know, most people land on the Google Analytics tab and they see sessions, users, page views, and their bounce rate. And I mean, you can look at pages per session and your average session duration. These are like the basics. And so if that's pretty much all you've ever seen in Google Analytics, first of all, if it's been a while since you've been in there, you might not realize that they've renamed a few things.
Yeah.
They've monkeyed with the layout a little bit. There's a ton of new useful information.
Unique visitors, is that even a thing anymore?
No, they just call it users now.
Yeah.
And sessions is the new terminology for visits.
For visits.
It used to be visits, and now it's
sessions.
There's still
page views, though.
Yeah, you still have page views, because that's still a useful metric that's probably not worth renaming.
Yeah.
Sessions, I thought, was a useful term change, though, because it was confusing to think about visits.
Okay.
People didn't understand visits.
So we've kind of described the problem here.
Yeah.
And I would say one other thing of the problem, before we move on to maybe how you've solved it, is...
I don't know if I've solved anything. We'll see.
Yeah. Is goals. People don't know to set up goals, and goals are actually difficult to set up. I mean, there's a different implementation based on...
The type of goal.
Oh, my gosh, the type of website that you're using.
Exactly.
Sometimes WordPress can have some plugins that help with that, but it's really
it can be
tough
painful.
Landscape.
But some of those are the most useful areas once you get them set up.
Right. Okay, so the bottom line with this is page views, sessions, users don't mean jack unless they do what it is you want them to do. And that's how you measure whether Facebook traffic is better than Google traffic, whether your new AdWords campaign is better than your previous AdWords campaign. Like, how do you... So Google takes all this information, and you don't have anything meaningful other than traffic, page views, users, bounce rate. But you really need to know, did these users do what I want them to do?
Exactly. And you need to first understand,
convert.
What is it you want them to do, right?
Okay, yeah.
So a lot of, from a business standpoint... that's kind of easy if you're e-commerce, right? And e-commerce businesses where you have a shopping cart and a checkout process on your site, you guys have it a little easier because there's a revenue number.
Yes.
There's a number of add to carts, And so those are some stages. So let's just take that as a quick example.
E-commerce?
If you're an e-commerce business, one of your goals should be add to cart, right?
Yeah. Well, there's actually a simpler way to do this.
I don't know
if you have Shopify, there's something called enhanced e-commerce analytics.
And it just sets it all
up for
you. It's
a setting that you turn on in
Shopify,
and then a setting that you turn on in Google Analytics.
Right.
And the code is already all set up there so that you get conversions. And then the other thing is it passes the value of the sale back onto Google Analytics.
Sure.
So then in your goals, you don't just have, hey, this person converted, but we don't know how much they bought. You actually have sales numbers
in Google
Analytics.
And you can do the same thing with every shopping cart platform that I know of. So like WooCommerce, there's a simple plugin you can use, or you can just add the code.
Do they have enhanced e-commerce tracking?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's kind of a new feature.
They don't call it by the same name, but yeah, you can assess. So like we know revenue per visit. We know all sorts of data around that. But again, e-commerce is kind of an easy case because the goals are a little bit more obvious,
Yeah.
You need to have people adding products to cart. You need to have people checking out. You need to see what the revenue numbers are. And you can establish some goals around, you know, increasing the number of times people add something to the cart, maybe decreasing abandoned carts, which means you have people that have added something to the cart, but they never bothered to check out.
Yeah.
And that happens maybe 2/3 of the time.
Don't you have a story that leads right into what we're chatting about right here?
So, yeah, I do. And you need to measure conversion rate site-wide. So, you know, not just site-wide, but all right. So let's tell the story.
This is good. I made you stop telling this before.
I know.
I want you to state it on air.
So a few months ago, I got my hands on Jay Baer's book, and it was before we had Jay on the show.
Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, Jay wrote the book, Utility.
Utility.
YOU Utility. And it was, you know, all about helping versus hype, you know, help versus hype. And it's content marketing stuff. And it's really good. If you haven't listened to the Jay Baer episode, he dives into some of the topics, and it's definitely worth listening to that show. But one of the things that happened is in the foreword to the book, before you even get into the content, there's Marcus Sheridan's story. And we've had Marcus on the show now, and he told the story about river pools and spas and how that they, you know, what they did. So at that same time, though, I'm reading this book, and I read the foreword, and I'm, you know how this is. You read a book, Josh, and you have clients to whom it applies, right? And your brain is like, you know, and so if you, as a listener, if you're listening to this show, your business, I mean, you're going to see your own business, and you're going to come up with ideas. And so anyway, so I'm reading the book, and I'm thinking about my client. I had just assigned my client mandatory, you know, this is some of the stuff that I do with clients sometimes. I'll say, look, it's your job. You must read this book. And I had given the CEO of this company, Jonah Berger's book on why things take off, right?
And this is an e-commerce company.
Yes. And the book is called Contagious. So I had given my client, I had assigned reading Contagious, in which Jonah Berger talks about all the different reasons why things take off, viral content, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Meanwhile, I'm reading Jay's book and Marcus's story. So I'm sorry, there are three, you know,
three books going on,
three different stories in the mix.
Story.
So Marcus is what really kind of springboarded this idea. And I went to my client and I said, look, we need to generate a list of 100 or more questions that people might ask before they make this purchase.
That's right. That's how Marcus started with, was it like 200? Before writing anything, he wrote 200 topics.
Yeah, like, I think it was
titles.
At least 100. He wrote a bunch of questions down, and he, because he'd been selling pools for 7 or 8 years by then, he said, look, what's every question that a customer has ever asked about buying a pool? And he started to write a blog post about each one. Well, we generated 150 questions that you might ask about buying a tongue brush, okay? And that means questions about bad breath. It means questions about oral health, about oral hygiene, about the relationship between oral health and various diseases.
Okay, so
heart disease. I mean, you name it.
Lots of topics.
Diabetes. So we had 150 questions. And then this is where Jonah's book came in. We narrowed the list down to pick the first ones we were going to tackle based upon some of the ideas in Contagious.
So this is just a couple months ago while the show's still going on.
Yeah, we're producing our show, and I think we had just lined up Jay as a guest. I mean, we were producing this show, but
so this
not
is pretty early on.
We hadn't interviewed any of these people yet. So anyway, Tom, who's the CEO of this company, Tom and I sat down and we just said, look, you take a few, I'll take a few. We're going to shoot some videos. And we shot some videos to answer the questions.
You went straight to videos instead of writing blog content.
We did, but then I turned the video, the first video we produced and published, I turned the video over to one of my team and said, write me a blog post about this.
Okay.
And it's not a transcript of the video. Okay, so I just want to be clear. We published the video to YouTube and Facebook, but we did not put it anywhere on the website.
Okay.
I assigned one of my team to write this piece of content based on the video, and she did, and we published it.
You're syndicating the video to different platforms.
Yeah, we kind of followed the atomization idea, like we're atomizing the content, right? But we didn't do a transcript. We wanted to write unique content.
Right, something made for a blog, not just a transcript of audio.
So we published the blog post, and I'm going to refer to another episode of our show.
Okay? Awesome.
Joe Chernoff from HubSpot talked about posts that decay versus posts that are accretive in shape. Like, if you look at the traffic over
time. Sorry to any of our guests who we did not mention on the show.
Exactly, right. Yeah. Yeah. We'll find a reason to mention you in a minute. No. So Joe talked about this, and the simple idea is this. Some posts, you know, you publish them, and then you get a little spike in traffic because you shared them on social or you emailed your list or you promoted them.
But
you
it's normally people that are already customers. They're
exactly,
already
familiar. Yeah.
So it's
and
not
so,
new
and you get
inbound.
A little traffic, and then it decays over time, and then you get the long tail drop off, and then it might get a visitor to a month or whatever, but it doesn't get a lot of interest. Well, this post, which was called How to Clean Your Tongue Without Gagging, is an accretive post. We got some traffic on it right away. We did the normal stuff. You know, we promoted it on Facebook and we did that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I forgot about it. And I'm doing what I normally do. I'm monitoring a lot of e-commerce information in Google Analytics and other places.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm using a third-party dashboard tool that sucks in data. It sucks in data from Google Analytics. It sucks in data from MailChimp. It sucks in data from a whole bunch of other places.
Nice.
It's a really sweet tool. It's called Gecko Board. And I'm really thrilled with it. The one downfall of it is we sell, this particular client sells a lot of merchandise on Amazon. And so
it doesn't pull in data from Amazon?
It would, but nobody's written the interface yet. There's an API from Amazon and Gecko Board has, and I've gotten like halfway through writing the interface, but I haven't had the time to finish it. So I still have to pull up Amazon separately. So,
wow.
So but that's part of the reason that I'm bringing this up. One of the frustrating things that happened is we're watching our sales grow, which is great. I mean, this year, Tongue has done in online sales. In July, we surpassed last year's online sales numbers. All right,
wow.
so we're you know, it's growing nicely.
Yeah,
we're up like 90% over last year.
Holy smokes!
Yeah, so it's nice, but it's a well-established company. I mean, they've sold this product for about 15-20 years now, almost. I mean, it's a very well-established. They invented tongue brushes.
So you're just getting traction online that
they've never had, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because they've been selling at retail.
Okay.
So all of that's really good, right? But
something happened.
The conversion rate dropped on
your
website.
Entire site.
The website in my little dashboard where I've got in Gecko Board, I've got the conversion rate as one of my top KPIs.
Oh yeah.
Right. This is my key performance indicator that I'm monitoring all the time. Traffic is up, sales are up, conversion rate is down. I'm like, what is the deal? And it dropped from over 5% on the site.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible.
Down to 1.5%.
That's still good.
But keep in mind, it's okay. Yeah, for a site-wide conversion, this is not a landing page.
Right. No,
this is not a sales letter. This is the whole site, right?
No, that's pretty good.
And honestly, there are any number of things that I wanted to do to the website to increase its conversion rate for sales.
Yeah.
But because the conversion rate was so good, it's like it ain't broke. I've been nervous about tampering with it. But now I'm watching the conversion rate drop. I'm like, what the heck is the deal? So I started digging deeper, and here's what I found. This blog post now accounts for nearly 50% of all the traffic.
This is the one titled
on the
How to Clean
Your
Tongue
Without Gagging.
Without Gagging.
Yeah. And it is, like today, it's number 2 in Google for how to clean your tongue.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Without even the without gagging part.
And it gets traffic on any number of phrases related to cleaning your tongue that don't have anything to do with gagging or in some cases they do. So the reason for this long detailed story is we wrote this piece of content just like we'd written, I don't know, any number of other pieces of content. And I'm not sure exactly why, but this has turned into one of those accretive posts.
Yeah.
And it's growing and it continues to grow. And here's what I found. This is the beauty of Google Analytics, Josh. If you log into Google Analytics and just look at the cursory information, you're going to be scratching your head like I was. Like I couldn't have told you why the conversion rate was dropping so much. I knew that we were getting more traffic, and I just figured, well, that's lower quality traffic.
Sure.
And so it's diluting the effectiveness of the whole website, right?
But then you found out it's this one blog post.
One blog post, and the conversion rate on that post is not strong at all.
Okay.
It's bad, actually.
So you're saying it's like half of the site's traffic is going to this post?
I'm probably exaggerating, but it's if you looked at landing like entry pages on the site, mm-hmm. which is Google's analytics, we'll call it a landing page or an entry page, and depending on which screen you look at, but those are if you look at the people that land on the website, this is probably 50% of the first.
of how they
of
first
entry
find
pages,
yeah.
Right? It doesn't account for 50% of the page views, but it accounts for 50% probably of the entry
okay.
pages, right?
Cool.
But if someone lands on this website, which is tungbrush.com, if someone lands on this website and they land on the homepage, my conversion rate is still over 5%. So the site's still performing very well, right? But if they land on that post first, if that's the first page they see on the site, then the conversion rate is very low.
Do you know what it is? What is it for that particular post?
It's like 0.1%. It's really
bad. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's bad. But those people are not buyers. They're looking for information. This is a classic example of now I can understand the intent of the visit. The people that are landing on the homepage are finding us because they're doing brand searches.
Sure.
They're doing other things that might cause them. They're predisposed to buy.
Yes.
Whereas someone who's searching for how to clean your tongue is predisposed to learn,
yes.
not to buy.
Sure.
Right? So it's all about user intent. Why did they land on that page? So that gives me a whole list of things that we can do now to on that page, on that blog post, so that people who land there with a learning intent
okay.
can get more of what they came
so
for.
So this is bringing us to now.
Yeah.
And you're still trying to figure out what you've done a couple things to improve the conversion rate.
With it.
You put the video on there.
And yeah, and then that's the other interesting thing. I had thought I'm going to leave the video off because I wanted to run a test and just see how would this blog post perform without a video. And we put a short URL on the YouTube video
mm-hmm.
to the blog post. So that's one of the links that we got to the post.
Yeah.
But it runs through a URL shortener first. It's a 301 redirect. So it probably gave us a little Google juice to that blog post, but not much.
Hmm.
Now, they both show up on a lot of the searches that you might run. You'll see the YouTube video and the blog post.
That's great.
But the blog post usually outranks the YouTube video.
You should do a slide share, too.
You think I should?
That's another funnel that, I mean, that...
Oh, yeah, we should. You're right.
Same title.
I think you were talking about doing a slideshare about this story, but yeah, we should do a slideshare on how to clean your tongue. You're absolutely right.
You could own the homepage.
Yeah.
For traffic that doesn't necessarily convert. But
the traffic doesn't convert, but that's okay because, look, you know what we're doing to get eyeballs on our content?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we pay significantly on Facebook to promote. We pay significantly on Google ads for YouTube video promotion and that sort of stuff. And this is free traffic, man. These are people who are seeing our brand. You can't miss our brand on the page.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, we're winning these people, but we're not necessarily converting them. So we've got a handful of things that we're about to do. I've got a list of things that we're going to be doing. But when I noticed this happening to the conversion rate, it caused me to dive deeper into Google Analytics. And so now I have this string of data around how much time people spend on the site, you know, the time on the page versus session time, session duration. And I'll tell you what, man, when you start digging a little deeper into your Google Analytics, when you have goals, and in the case of e-commerce, when you have your e-commerce properly set up so that mm-hmm. it's tracking revenues, you have at your fingertips an unbelievable amount of information that is usable.
Absolutely.
That you can take action on.
Absolutely.
And I wouldn't know any of this if I were just looking at page views and I were looking at user counts and referral traffic and all of that sort of stuff.
Sure.
Now, the one big, really super duper frustrating downfall of Google Analytics is that it's harder and harder for us to see keyword data.
Yeah. It's just not there.
And that's been a change that's happened over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got the official explanation for this, right? Like Google's official story for why they're hiding this.
No, actually, I haven't. I just figured it was Google being
It's mostly Google because Bing and Yahoo
still do it.
They still
have a keyboard.
Yeah, they still provide.
It's a privacy issue.
It is a privacy issue. So it amounts to this. Google said we can't provide keyword data on searches to you as a website owner if someone's logged into their Google account.
Yeah.
And because they pushed us all into Google Plus,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of us are using Gmail and other things, we're logged
in
all the time.
Signed in, yeah.
And we sign into Google Chrome, which is now the dominant platform on the web. It's the dominant browser. So because all these users are signed in, you know, sometimes 60, 70, 80% of the keywords are masked. And so Google is only providing us keyword data for not signed in users. And Bing and Yahoo, of course, which unfortunately they don't account for enough traffic
to be
useful.
Webmaster Tools.
Yeah.
adds in some of this missing data.
They do.
And you can link that to Google Analytics,
yes.
And then that shows up in your analytics account.
Yeah, and they've renamed Webmaster Tools now, so it's now the Google Search Console. And if you haven't logged into the Search Console, it still looks pretty much the same. So if you've logged in recently and just
how do I miss that?
The URL is still Webmasters. It's
right.
So google.com/webmasters/tools, but they've renamed it Search Console, and it's getting overhauled a lot like Google Analytics. Google Analytics has changed drastically in the last 3 or 4 years. You know, it's gradually changed. So I think we're going to see more of that from Webmaster Tools.
Do you have another tool that you use alongside Google Analytics? Which is, you've mentioned, what was it called?
Jetpack is something that we use for our WordPress site.
No, the other one before that.
Oh, the dashboard?
Yeah, what is that?
It's called Gecko Board.
Now, is that a paid product?
It is. Yeah, okay. I think there's a free version, but what I needed, it made sense. And I can't remember if it's a free version or a free trial, but it's called Gecko Board, and it's one of many tools. There are a lot of great dashboard tools out there, but the problem is most of them are sickeningly expensive.
Really?
Yeah, and it's great if you're making tons of money from your website, but if you're a small business, most of these don't make sense.
Yeah.
And so
there are some free dashboards just for Google Analytics.
Yeah.
But they're kind of hard to find the right one that's customized for you.
And you that's a good point. You can actually add dashboards directly into Google Analytics.
Right.
So like I have one and I don't remember where I found it. I'll have to post a link. I'll have to find a link and post it. But I found a dashboard for e-commerce websites. It's called the Perfect Dashboard. And I think it's a little overstated. I don't know that it's perfect, but it's very useful.
So instead of having to click through all the different tabs on the left, you're able to see most of the information you need, and then you can kind of click on each of the graphs to see more detail, that kind of
thing. Exactly, yeah. So like when I pull up the Perfect Dashboard right now, it's got revenue in one box, and this is for the same 30-day window that you normally see, right?
Yeah.
And it'll respond, just like if you change the date window or if you add a comparison in, this dashboard will update. But it's got revenue, it's got page views, it's got visits, and then it's got a graph of visits and revenue plotted together.
Cool.
So you can see, as your visits go up, what's happening to your revenue. And then it's got like a nice little pie chart on visits by channel, so your organic search, your referral traffic, your email, your CPC traffic if you're doing paid
clicks,
and
yep.
then social, that's all plotted in a nice graph. Your top landing pages, and this is where, you know, like top landing pages meaning top entry pages, that blog post just kicks everything else's butt. And then one of the things that's nice about it is it's got non-branded keywords, your top non-branded keywords. So it's a little widget that you go in and you tell it what your brand is. And then it siphons through the keyword data that you do have, which is limited, of course. And then it subtracts out any of the keyword phrases that contain your brand name.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And so it shows you, where you're picking up your traffic from that's not, you know, looking for your brand.
Yeah, that's really handy.
It's a nicely created, but these are the kinds of things that you can do. So I just at a glance now, I can see really important KPIs if I'm inside Google Analytics. It was free. You can set up your own dashboards. It takes a little time if you want to do that, but you can set up your own dashboards inside of Google Analytics. But if you needed to pull in any third-party data, so like I mentioned MailChimp, I don't remember what else we have set up in Gecko Board, but if you needed to compare any third-party data against Google Analytics, that's where a tool like Gecko Board makes a lot of sense. And so, like, we're on the $49 a month plan, right, with Gecko Board. It's not expensive. Whereas some of your other top dashboard tools.
And see, that sounds expensive to me. I mean, you know, you're going from Google Analytics, which is free. I did download a tool called Gadget. It's spelled G-A-Git. So Google Analytics Git.
And Gadget, I like that.
It basically just takes your Google Analytics data and presents it differently. And they have a mobile app, which is really cool. I kind of like it. It's pretty generic. You know, it's not going to have it's not going to have conversion data. It's not going to be custom. But if you are just really, you don't look at Google Analytics enough, you don't log in enough, and you know that you aren't looking at it enough, this is kind of a good like entryway to get you some solid information, kind of your overview. Page views, are they up and down? What's your traffic from social look like? Are they up and down? And then quickly and easily you can look at 2 weeks past, 1 week past, 4 weeks past.
Nice.
And then, yeah.
And there are some tools that will do that. Like you can pull in, there's some plugins for WordPress that'll suck in your analytics data and show it to you in a nice dashboard view inside of WordPress when you're logged in.
Yeah, Yoast has a good one.
Yeah, and I don't tend to like those. They tend to be slow. They tend to not, you know, when you load your WordPress dashboard, you don't need to be bogged down by it reaching out to analytics and sucking in data and all that sort of. So I haven't been thrilled with a lot of those. I don't know if I tried the Yoast one. I love Yoast products. So, I mean, we use their SEO plugin and even their analytics plugin that does the, oh, that's what it is. I use the analytics plugin, but I don't sign in. I just give it the ID.
It's the manual setup.
Yeah, it's the manual setup.
Actually,
version.
I do the same.
Do you really?
Because if I want to see Google Analytics data,
I go to Google.
I go to Google Analytics. So,
yeah, that's an interesting dynamic. But I tell you what, Domo is the one that I was trying to think of. That's the dashboard. And there's this whole business intelligence industry out there, but it's hundreds and hundreds of dollars per month, even for their basic starting plan. It's insane. And again, depending on your business size, that might make great sense because the value of these dashboard tools can be really, really high. Like if you're trying to really move the needle in one specific area, you need to keep it in front of you all the time. You
know? Oh, absolutely.
So anyway, I don't know how much more useful information we can milk out of my tongue brush story, but
yeah,
you know, identifying a short list of things that we can adapt on that blog post, from tweaking the layout to putting, you know, nice, highly visible links to a new opt-in that we're going to be offering soon to, you know, some things that we can try to do to create relationships. Wow. Those we'll see how they pay off over time. But just the ability to have actionable information when you dive a little deeper is a critical thing for any business now on the web.
Yeah. Well, this is crazy because, I mean, we have more things that we were going to chat about, but I feel we could keep going with the Google Analytics thing.
Let's talk about this. What are some of the top goals that you normally set up, even if it's not an e-commerce situation?
Okay, so here's a great one. Do you remember when we talked about call tracking before?
Of course, yeah.
We mentioned CallRail, and CallRail does some really cool stuff because as a local business, a conversion for you should be a call. The problem is, you can't track that unless you put a button on your website that says call us, and assuming they use that button and they don't reach for their cell phone, for example, and type in the phone number manually, which you then lose that track, you can actually set it up to track people who have called you.
And you can also do tap-to-call tracking with Google Analytics. You can set up an event.
That's what I'm meaning.
Yeah, yes. So that it may not be a button, it might just be your phone number.
Right,
but when they're on a smartphone and they tap it, it turns into an event in Google Analytics, which you can track.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So
and that could be one of your goals.
Right. But then obviously you're missing the people that call in and they're manually typing in their phone.
And they just found your phone number. Right.
So CallRail, what that does, it doesn't work for all of your traffic because you want a certain amount of your traffic to show the same phone number
because Google wants that. Yeah. Yeah.
But for your paid traffic,
especially if you're a local business, your map listing could be affected if your phone numbers are funky.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
But what it does is it changes it for your paid traffic.
Sure.
That's coming to your site. And you have different phone numbers that show up for each campaign. So what you're able to do is track your different campaigns from your paid clicks, from Facebook, from some of these other channels that you're paying for traffic. You really need to know how well is this converting.
So if I'm a visitor that sees your ad on Google, I might see a completely different phone number than somebody who saw a Facebook post and then landed on your
site. And this is different from the phone number listed on the ad because you can obviously add that.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's actually changing the phone number on your website depending on where they came from.
That's pretty smart.
And CallRail takes this data, pushes it back to Google Analytics and back to Google AdWords, and you can see which campaigns, which keywords are converting better.
Which ones are generating phone calls?
Exactly.
Right. And then you can optimize your campaigns based on the number of phone calls.
So this is a game changer.
Yeah, that's huge.
Most people have their sites, they look at page views, they look at bounce rate, but they have no idea for conversions. And they're hearing all this conversation. You're hearing from people every day. You need to, you know, look at Facebook, you need to look at all these new channels that are coming out, but how do you measure, especially if you're paying for traffic to your site?
Absolutely.
You need to be able to measure what traffic is converting.
And so if you're a
Sounds like I'm really pushing CallRail, but I'm really pushing the idea that you have to have this data.
You have to have the measurement. So even if you don't use a dynamic phone number thing like CallRail, you by just setting up the event in Google Analytics,
you're at least getting something.
You're getting something, and you can at least see like this keyword converts into a phone call more often than that keyword does.
Yeah.
or this type of visitor, if it's a social visitor, or a direct travel referral or whatever, you can see all. So those are the kinds of things. So a phone event or a phone call is one goal that you often set up.
The other one would be a form being filled out.
A form fill, so like a contact form or a lead gen form of any kind.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about an opt-in, an email opt-in?
Same thing, similar.
Okay, because it's a form. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like converting a. But see, like I think of an email subscriber often a little differently than I think of a lead, right? Because an email subscriber might just be getting a free download or signing up for.
Well,
a newsletter.
I mean, luckily Google Analytics tracks it separately, so you could look per goal
which
one's converting. I mean, I kind of look at it all together.
Okay.
Just say these are all the conversions we got. In general, and that way I can. Now, you do have a point, though. I mean, I would think a phone call conversion would be of higher value than just an email.
Yeah. But. Well, you brought to mind a tool that I thought we could mention as we wrap up today, and this is something that we're adding to a lot of sites. It's easy to add to WordPress because they have a plugin, but you can add it to virtually any site. You ever seen the Hello Bar? You familiar with the Hello Bar?
Absolutely.
It's the little bar that drops down at the top. Well,
that's $5 a month, right?
Yeah, it's not expensive. I think, I'm on the $15 a month plan or something.
Oh, my.
But I found a competitor to them that's cheaper and that offers quite a bit more, they have more options available. It's called Get Site Control.
Get Site Control.
Yeah, so it's GetSite, like site, S-I-T-E.
Yeah.
GetSiteControl.com. And check them out because then you can add a little widget. And it'll do like a promo widget where it'll pop up with a graphic and stuff. Some of this stuff is, you know, if you use Hello Bar, it just adds cost after cost after cost. And it starts to build. It starts to get pretty expensive after a while.
Sure.
Whereas with Get Site Control, a lot of it's all just included in the basic,
nice,
you know, paid version. There is a free version, by the way, also. So it's worth checking out.
So you're going to put one of these bars on the... this blog post that we were talking about?
I'm probably going to use Get Site Control to offer. Well, I don't know. We have another tool that we've set up on that site for opt-ins that we can use for like a modal, you know, hover.
But what do you think
opt-in.
You're going to build? What's this opt-in?
Oh, we already have
say?
The opt-in. Yeah. No, we already have it. We went to another company that produces not quite competitive, but we kind of there's like a little co-opetition, if you will, between us. And the only reason we did it is because they've already done the work of creating this piece. And it's called the Bad Breath Bible. And we contacted the people. They gave us permission.
The Bad Breath Bible.
So we're going to offer it as a free download.
Nice.
Now, we're going to build some of our own stuff eventually. But since this one's already done, it'll be faster to implement.
And you've got all this traffic every day.
I got to get something up yesterday. Yeah, really. Yeah, so I need to stop recording this podcast and go put that up. it's that big of a deal. But anyway.
Wow.
Fun show.
Yeah, and I think the takeaway here is, what's your specific implementation that you're needing for Google Analytics? Let's tackle some of that. It might not be content for the show, but we'd love to kind of hear what are your challenges, what are you guys dealing with with Google Analytics, so we can help you out, because it's really different for every business.
It really is. And all you'd have to do to ask that question or to comment on today's show is go to growthedream.com/shows, plural. 028, because we're on episode
028.
Yeah, this is 28. So it's growthedream.com/shows/028, and you can comment on today's show. We'll also put some links there on that page out to some of the tools that we mentioned today, which we usually do. I don't know if people know. You can go to our website and find all this stuff.
We were going to mention Buffer releasing their video tool, which is cool. Neither of us have used it yet.
Let's use it between now and next week, and then we can talk about it in more detail.
There we go.
How do you think about that?
Great idea.
So that's good. But you can also just drop us an email if you want to. It's show@growthedream.com. You can go to our community site, ask.growthedream.com. That's on the web, obviously. It's not an email. ask.growthedream.com. I think this has gotten confusing. Tweet us at GTD Show. And hey, make sure you tweet Rod and let him know you missed him this week. He's on Twitter. He's Rod_Thompson.
Without the B.
Yeah, there's no P in Tom. Thank you. No P in Thompson. And Rod, we missed you, man. And we'll hope to see you again soon. Josh, I think we've gone over our time today again. So,
Yeah. We are good at that.
Rod's going to harass us about that.
Yes, he is.
Oh, well.
That's okay. He wasn't here.
He wasn't here to control the geekdom.
Yes.
So once again, we geeked out a little bit. This time a little more useful, though, I think.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. Anyway, let us know what you want to hear, and we will look forward to talking to you again
next week on Marketing Mondays.
That's right.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.